A quiet town in Thailand is rocked as a monster emerges from the nearby lake to terrorize the local population. This is a simple yet tried and true plot, but will this monster flick emerge from the morass of many other movies, or will it get stuck in the mud? Find out as we head down to the waterfront. This is Kaiju vs. History, The Lake.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your giant lake monster mother searching the shore, Patrick. And joining me is a little girl with a big old egg, Miles. Hey, Miles.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, the lake. Yes, this is one that was a movie, foreign movie. Very difficult to find information about when this came out. You know, we just got a very dark and rainy trailer, I think, around the beginning of 2022. And at first, I didn't think it was a kaiju movie, but then I started seeing some of the production stills of this movie. And I was like, oh, they have a massive physical, kaiju head and things. I was like, oh, wow, they're really going for it in this film.
That and this is one of those movies that just seems to have a track to an English release, because like, even when the trailer came out, like, it seemed that this movie was already getting gobbled up. And I mean, this movie is very, very easy to find, like shockingly easy to find. It's on Tubi, on Plex, on Amazon
on Prime.
It's everywhere. And it was available pretty shortly after its Thai release. I feel like it came here maybe a year later.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I did not watch it until it came up for the podcast, and part of that is just to keep it fresh in my mind. But
I did the same thing. I think you and I think we shared the trailer in our Kaiju versus History channel on the Discord.
So crazy that we're in the modern era when we were making podcasts when movies were coming out. But yes.
Not only were we making podcasts, we were making this podcast.
The movie released theatrically kind of towards the end of 2022, August 18th of 2022. And I think, I don't know if it came out the same year, but it was not too long after that.
I think it went to digital. It looks like I shared it on September 14th, 2022, shortly thereafter you posted the trailer.
A little birthday trailer for me, huh?
Yeah. For once, it wasn't Destiny. But yeah, this is one that was absolutely on our radar. And I was excited to get to. But because it, you know, wasn't really playing anywhere near here, and it was a more of a DTV release, I just opted to wait until we watched it for this week. But before we get into that, Patrick, tell me, what is in a title?
Just an awful title, Miles. I hate it. I hate it when they're
really. I don't mind a basic. I don't mind a basic one if it matters. Now I will say this: having seen the movie, I hate the title, but because the lake is not really a part of the movie at all.
Is it even a lake in the movie? It's.
It doesn't seem to be, but that could just be my Western idea of a lake.
It is mentioned in a few different places. The title is not just the lake. It is like either the lake monster, or specifically in Taiwan and Vietnam, it is translates to the Mekong River monster or Mekong River giant. And guess what? River is not a lake. The Mekong River is a very specific river in Thailand. So why they decided not to go with the river, I do not know, but
what do they call it? The monsoon monster, because I felt like it was, you know, the entire time pouring down rain.
I'm guessing they had to use rain effects in some of it, but some of it just looks so real. Like they have
those actors are soaking wet the entire time.
I love it. It just adds so much added production value. And yeah, the other titles in Spain, it released as Threat in the Depths. Threat down below, the creature of the lake in Colombia. I think all these are pretty good. The lake monster, I think, is also probably the best. But because of what this movie reminds me so much of, I think the lake is probably what they were going for. And I guess I can mention this now. This movie cribs or pays homage a great deal to Bong Joon-ho's The Host.
Oh, 1,000%.
To the point where some people thought that maybe it took a bit too much, but I will say thematically, there's a lot of things about family in this movie. Visually, there are some kind of shot for shot parts of this movie. In fact, when the first smaller monster comes ashore and is attacking people, I guess on the lakeshore, but in actuality, I think it was the river kind of delta, there are some shots that are just one-to-one. Like, you can put them up against The Host and they're pretty much the same.
Yeah, it doesn't have the soul that The Host does. And that is a very, very key part. And sometimes what really hurts this movie is a lot of times this does feel we have The Host at home. And I know that sounds very, very dismissive, but it's one of those things where, like, it doesn't do the work. It puts things there. It is on screen, but it doesn't do the work to have the emotional reaction that something like The Host gives you.
The Host is so 100% focused on the family trying to get the daughter back. You know, when they find out and they believe the son that she is still alive. And I was expecting that to be the case with the brother and sister, the mother and uncle of the daughter in this film. I don't think they see her be snatched away. She just goes missing, and then he gets hurt, and they seem to forget about her for a lot of the movie and, like, are not going back to, like, find her. And it's like, oh, well, that's very different than The Host.
Well, that's why I initially thought she was dead until she kind of pops up again, which I don't know if that's supposed to be a big gotcha moment or not.
Well, they don't show her dying, and they don't, like, the main characters wouldn't know that she was, like, that she just goes missing, right?
Right. And now, this also brings kind of, I think, the biggest problem with the movie is, while it does have named characters in this film, it doesn't feel like it has characters in this movie. Everyone is just, like, a role, but the depth isn't there. And I think that's the biggest problem with this flick.
Well, it also has a few different main characters. You have, like, the local kind of military leader, I believe, or police kind of constable, who's doing his best to keep this monster under control, the populace under control. You have a
police and his daughter under control.
Yeah, you have a police investigator who a single father who's dealing with his daughter. And then
sorry. I thought that's what you were talking about before.
Yeah, I guess I was also talking about the general, but the police investigation into murders, and then, like, the main family. And then you throw in kind of, like, a mystical element to it fairly early on with the main male character being, like, linked to the monster, to the point where if one of the monsters is damaged, like, if the monster gets stabbed in the side, he kind of feels that pain. And so they have to keep the monster alive for him. There's a lot of elements to the film. And we get to understand fairly early on, and I think the characters in the movie a little later, that this is just a living, breathing creature, like ostensibly a natural creature that is looking for its family, looking for this young monster and an egg. So we have, like, multiple kind of versions of the creature in the film. I cannot believe, Miles, we didn't get a cute baby monster in this movie. I thought that egg was going to crack. We're going to see. It's like, oh, no one's going to want to kill it because the baby's cute.
I thought the same thing and was pretty disappointed when we didn't get.
But yeah, this movie is pretty interesting. It's both written and directed by Lee Thom-Kam, who I think probably, if anyone has heard of him, he had a Netflix film called The Maid, a horror movie called The Maid that came out a few years prior to this. Yeah, did you watch that one?
I did. I don't remember that much about it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, his production company did that movie, did this one, and a couple others, I think, since then. And he has directed most of them, most of the movies And yeah, he has some that are upcoming, but not a sequel to this one yet, even though it ends on pretty much a big, you know, to be continued almost. The monster just gets away and we see what it doesn't even look like a post-credit sequence. It looks like scenes from the next movie where the police officers finds like a cave with cave drawings of the monster. And it's like, oh my gosh, there's so much lore that we're never going to get in this one scene. Do you want to talk about the monster itself? What do you think of the design for?
I'm not going to lie. I think the monster design is kind of generic.
Oh, really? You don't like it?
It's not that I don't like it. It's fine. Like if I typed in monster, like, yeah. I felt like that's, you know, if I went to Spirit Halloween to get a kaiju costume, it would look kind of like this thing.
I will say the younger one looks very different and very interesting.
The younger one's not bad. I don't mind the younger one.
Interestingly,
kind of Gilman looking.
It feels like that's the one where they use the most CGI money on, because we have just full scenes of it kind of running in the daylight during its first scenes. And those don't look great to me. I was like, you should have just stuck with the guy in the suit, because with the camera
fully
work
agree.
And the natural lighting setting, you have, you know, and all the rain, like there's so many scattering effects that it looks great. Maybe the suitimation isn't the best. It's a little chonky because this guy's wearing like 300 pounds of latex.
Right. But no. It's certainly not an awful like design. I don't want anyone to think I'm just dunking on this monster. I think it's fine, but I just think it's fine. It's
like, what if a fish was a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Yeah, it's got that kind of vibe to it.
Definitely elements of Jurassic Park in this movie as well. When the young kids are stuck in the car.
There is 100% a Jurassic Park sequence here. I mean, again, you know, a lot of these directors are being influenced by these big Hollywood movies, so they are emulating them for their home audience. And I'm perfectly okay with that. We see that kind of stuff all the time. We have certainly seen it in Godzilla films and kaiju films. We've seen it. It's also in tokusatsu stuff. A lot of it, that there are takes like in certain things. I can't remember if it was a Kamen Rider or if it was some of the kaiju films we were watching from the 90s, where it's like each iteration they had like some new Hollywood thing they were kind of riffing on, whether it was like Indiana Jones or Terminator.
Yeah,
you know, there happens a lot. And so I certainly don't mind if it's being done by a Thai director. And frankly, to give credit where credit's due, does a great job with that scene. It's a very well done scene.
So, I mean, they built a scale, you know, animatronic puppet version of the monster, which is what they use, I would say, 90% of the time when they're showing him. So, like, if they have the monster, like, nudging its head and like moving the car, they're actually doing that. They've built it strong enough to where it can, like, you know, put some weight behind it if it's like smacking a windshield the same way. There's a few freestanding scenes where it's like marching through the town where it's CGI and, like, you know, looks really good. Like, they're, you know, it's smashing telephone wires and things like that, and or chasing after the car towards the end and kind of doing the four-legged crawl or crocodilian style run, which we see from Godzilla and Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah, I actually like it. I do think it's a little generic, but it is done well. There's also some flares to it, like gills and frills and things that not only look kind of Jurassic Park-esque, but definitely remind me of the creature from The Host.
That will be the movie's uphill battle, is the constant comparisons and expectations to The Host, more so than any of its other kaiju influences. There is a lot of Host in there, but and while this movie does struggle with things to make it stand out as an evocative piece of art, I will say I do want to focus a little bit on some of the great things about it. Like, it's extremely well shot. Like, Thailand comes alive in this feature. It looks phenomenal. The monsoon season at play here just feels like just as much of a character in this picture than as the monster does. I think it's exceptionally well acted. It's well shot, and it's in terms of its scenario writing, it's not poorly written. The biggest problem this movie has is that the characters are pretty one-dimensional. And that kind of sinks this movie in terms of its emotional depth, because you really want to feel like there's a sequence where someone loses a family member, and it's a very climactic part of the movie, and you really want to get the emotional gut punch, but you're just kind of that kind of sucks. But
that's the thing in Bong Joon-ho's movies. You are given so many reasons to love those characters immediately as soon as they start, getting knocked out by the monster. You're like, oh no. And then when they come back at the end and they all work together as a family, you're so happy.
Because the movie's about the characters, and here characters exist, but they're not fully realized three-dimensional characters the way they are in The Host. And it sucks that we have to keep bringing up The Host, but that's what this is. And because otherwise it's a pretty solid little creature feature.
I would say, because we kind of consider the Host a kaiju-like movie, this one definitely feels in the same vein. But one thing The Host focused on was the inciting incident that made the monster. This one, we get hints, like I said, at the end of the movie, that this is like an ancient beast and it has some kind of ability to connect to humans. But we don't really understand what it is or where it's from at any point in this film, right? Like, there's like local legends and things, but
yeah,
we don't, like, why did it just show up? You know, why did its egg wash up and cause all this kerfuffle? And like, should we be feeling sympathy for the monster?
The monster's only displayed as something that's looking for its offspring.
Yeah. It gets a little muddled because that younger version of the monster is like absolutely ripping people to shreds, tearing them new buttholes. But
kids,
it does seem like the older one is more inquisitive, and while more angry, perhaps is not killing people as much as the younger one. But yeah, it is an interesting little slice of Thailand. Like you said, I think the entire cast do a good job of painting their country in a positive light, even though I don't think I would want to go to Thailand after watching this, as much as rain is involved in this movie.
Right.
It's the entire time. It's just so rainy. But yeah, beautiful country. Great monster. Do you have a favorite scene from the film? Something that stands out to you?
I'm trying to think of... That is the problem with this one, is there's moments that I was like, oh man, I would love, like, actually, I love the whole sequence where this is even part of the monster stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, all of the bones are there for a great movie that could have been, an emotionally impactful film. But the bit where the constable was like, well, you got suspended from school, so you're going to work with me.
Yeah.
And that whole conversation, because the partner starts talking to her and it's like, oh, this, that, and the other. And the dad's like, well, how do you know this? So there is like elements of like, okay, there's some lived in world aspect here, but like, you just only go so far. And I like the aforementioned Jurassic Park sequence. I thought that was very well done.
It's so good. There's so many good parts to it. And I linked in our show notes a little video of behind the scenes making it with the giant animatronic. And I'm just like, I want movies to do this more often. I understand like it's crazy expensive to make one of these, and if it breaks, you're out of luck. But
right.
I think the craftsmanship is so important in movies like this. Even if you're not making a full animatronic, having just like a single arm or just the mouth to allow your actors to respond
exactly. Having something physically there with the actors, you can never replicate that.
Yeah. So yeah, I think my favorite bit is the Jurassic Park car scene. Anything with the large kaiju is good looking stuff that they put on the big screen. Kind of wish there was more of it. But yeah, this movie, It's very hard to find information about online. You know, I was crawling all over Thai language websites, and you can find the production company who made this, Lee Thong Kam's production company. And he's got some like photos and some other information on there, but there's not even like a Wikipedia page about this film. And, you know, part of that is this was being filmed during the pandemic, came out towards the tail end of the pandemic, and probably just didn't do super well because of that. But I still enjoyed it. It's got a 47% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think a similar score on Letterboxd, a 2.2. Yeah. So out of five, that's like a 4.5, somewhere in there. Well, let's get to scoring this ourselves, Miles. What did you think about your personal enjoyment of this movie? Where do you see yourself landing there?
I thought I was going to land a little more harsh on this movie than I expected, but I did find myself very much enjoying it. One, because it's the novelty of, like, you know, it's a film from a country that we don't see a whole lot of entries from, and it is exceptionally well shot. It's well acted. The script really, you know, kind of sinks this movie a little bit, but not to the degree of last week's film. Yes, it is missing a ton of depth with its characters, but the skeleton of what they want to do is there, and that gets close enough. Doesn't turn this into a great movie by any means, but it does turn it into a pretty good one, and it's entertaining. It keeps your attention. Again, the fact that Thailand, or that small village in Thailand, is as much a character as anyone else really helps. And so for that aspect, I'm a little kind to this one. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. I had a pretty good time. It does overstay its welcome a little bit, but it's not super long. You know, unlike last week's movie that was almost a full 2 hours, this one's about 83 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, it's a pretty standard length. I think 90, somewhere in there with the credits. 7 out of 10. Okay.
What about you? How'd you fall on this one?
A little less. I really started the movie with a great deal of enjoyment, but I think as it went on and introduced, you know, more characters and diluted the original plot of what I thought the movie was going to be, I did feel myself tuning out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then, like, some of the plots and elements got a bit, like I said, I really do think they're homages to these directors that Lee Thong Kam loves. I was just like, oh, I've seen this movie before, you know. I do appreciate it for, I mean, pretty much being a, you know, an independent film in a lot of ways. It is not like a major studio. It was co-financed by a Chinese production company, so I think they probably paid for a lot of the special effects and things like that. But this does not look like, you know, the snow monster versus ice sharks Chinese right. film that we watched. This looks a lot better than those films. So yeah, I'm giving a slightly less score for personal enjoyment, a 6 out of 10. So okay. Really enjoyed it. I can't see myself rewatching this anytime soon, but I'm glad that I finally got a chance to watch it, and it was on our list. That's going to take us next to the technical score, which I'm a little less harsh on. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 for its technical, mostly because I think the direction of the movie was great. The actors were very good, and the physical special effects, I mean, it's just not done anymore, you know, for kaiju movies. There were some physical elements to the monster in The Host. I think this movie outdid those physical elements because we got so much more depending on the animatronics for this movie. All the points I'm dinging it for, giving a 7 out of 10, are really for the script, which meanders a little bit and then just kind of ends, you know, and like we said, it ends in such a way that it's setting up a sequel. And that last scene really feels like a scene from the next movie and not the end of this movie. So I was confused why we didn't get another one, and they still don't have I understand this is only 3 years ago, but I feel like the next one should be in production. I just don't think this one did well enough in its distribution rights to warrant that, maybe. So 7 out of 10 for the technical score. What about you, Miles?
Yeah, this is where I'm digging a little bit more because of, you know, the wonky CGI that doesn't quite come up to snuff with the practical effects that are used, the lack of character development, and the fact that, like, everyone kind of feels just like a stock character, like, oh, I'm this character, I'm this archetype. It doesn't, I mean, this movie could easily have a really emotional core, and I think because it feels that way and it doesn't, is where this movie really falters. So while it's well acted and it looks really, really great, the script and some of the technical effects, as well as the design of the monster itself, do kind of hurt its technical score for me. So I'm going lower this time with a 6.
Okay, we're circling the drain on the same score. Let's see if we can tie this in. My importance, my thoughts on the importance of this as a kaiju movie, I'm giving it some marks for this being a original concept, if not execution, of this kind of monster movie. I really think that this monster itself, the kaiju itself, could have been better explored in a sequel where we're not so focused on the human element. We're not so focused on the mystery of what this is, but rather maybe, you know, they at the end of this movie cover it up that this was a kaiju attack, which is like, really, this thing? So many people saw this thing. But they say it was like special effects, all the cell phone footage people took, because they want to keep hunters out of their like beautiful part of the world. No, I want the second movie. I want them to make it and it to be about jerk Americans coming to Thailand trying to hunt this monster. And maybe the locals have to kind of team up with the kaiju. I just want more. I don't feel like we got enough. So I'm definitely dinging it for that. And like I said, this is a movie very similar to a kaiju-like film. I don't think there were enough elements of it that screamed this is a kaiju movie as opposed to just a giant monster movie. And I know there's a fine line, a delineation between those two, but The Host works because it is about the government having created this monster and its response. And we don't get a lot of the government in this film, as opposed to last week's What to Do with the Dead Kaiju. So I'm giving this a 6 out of 10. What about you, Miles?
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I mean, this movie does, you know, again, it's great that we have a legitimately serious entry from a country we don't see a lot of entries from. That is great. It definitely is why this movie will be brought up into conversation. I think there's a lot of solid things that this movie does. But I think you're right. I think that there's, honestly, the mystery aspect, especially since we don't ever really go into it, kind of hurts this movie more than helps. And the little stinger for the sequel that kind of looks like lifted from the MonsterVerse doesn't really help me either, because again, yes, the aim with these kind of things will always be to like, yeah, we're gonna make more of these, but at the same time, I want that single entry to be able to stand by itself. Like, I don't want to have to wait for a sequel to be like, oh yeah, I appreciate these elements because of this. Like, that sucks. And there's plenty of things that, like, you can feel that way about. Or you can say, oh, this sequel is better than the original, but the original sets everything up. Like, I mean, I just went through that with the Black Phone 2. I liked it more than the first one, but at the same time, you don't have it without the emotional resonance of the first one. But,
yeah.
So I do feel I wish they left more of their cards on the table. I wish the script was solid. But if we're talking about, like, you know, its place in kaiju history, I do think it needs to be, you know, it is a good movie, and or it's at least a decent movie. And it is an example of a Thai feature film. It's very well directed. If this comes up in conversation in the annals of kaiju cinema, I'm definitely going to recommend this one, but softly. Unlike last week where I was like, yeah, it's got a great concept, but I don't like the movie. This one, it's just fine in so many ways, and then very exemplary in like its direction and cinematography and, you know, use of budget and sets and practical effects. And I think that that's worth something. But that said, at the end of the day, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think this is a 6 out of 10 in terms of its importance.
Okay, well, we have tied the score here at both our final scores for The Lake is a 6.3. So our final podcast score is going to be a 6 for the Lake. Pretty good, seeing as this is the first in this director's big giant monster oeuvre. And like we said, this was only 3 years ago. So, I mean, we have waited a lot longer for sequels of films. I hope he gets back to this. I hope
we see
more of Thailand and the monster.
I would definitely tune into another one.
It's one of those things, like, the longer you wait, it's, you know, I don't know if that animatronic is going to be working for the next movie, you know?
Right.
Sometimes you try to shoot these close together because there's, like, a window before everything falls apart and rusts and you have to remake stuff. But, yeah, that is what we got for The Lake. If you want to talk to us about kaiju stuff, you can find us on the Cosmic Crit Discord, where we've got a kaiju versus history subsection. And as Miles said, we posted the link for this movie years ago there, and have done many a postings there about trailers for upcoming films, video games, books, and
toys,
a lot of toys and shirts. Yeah, I would say that's the majority of it, just because, like I said, we're riding the kaiju renaissance, which is why this podcast is so much fun to do. So come talk to us there. Talk to us on social media at Kaiju Versus History. You can email us at Kaiju Versus History, or head over to our letterbox, which I'm updating right now, to see all of our scores in 5-star format. So it does half stars, which means this movie, which is getting a 6 out of 10, is a 3-star affair over there. You can also see the list of upcoming films that we are looking at, which is a dwindling list, Miles. We're talking, like, right now we only have about 20 more films for the next 3 years, maybe less. And not gonna lie, a lot of them are not good. So
well, that's the thing, is like, we have a lot of stuff on the horizon, and we'll have conversations about what we're gonna do with the cast while these things are gestating. I mean, I know we have several other Godzilla movies in the works from both Japan and the States, plus the TV shows and all of that good stuff. So we do have,
give us more Hollywood. You can make your own original kaiju. It's okay.
Yeah, it's right. Okay.
Yeah, but we've got more stuff to do, and besides the movies and TV shows. So keep on listening and supporting us online. And Miles, what are we doing? What are we doing next week? Where are we going next time?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're gonna catch you next time when we look at the next installment in director Hideaki Anno's Shin series, as he revitalizes properties under his semi-connected universe. It's at least connected in a multimedia aspect for toys and stuff. But this time he looks to make a modern film out of one of the most classic kaiju television shows in all of Japan, with the country's take on a super-sized hero. That's right. Tune in next time for History versus Shin Ultraman.